Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
On today's episode of All the Shit I've Learned Abroad, we're diving into the world of artificial intelligence, also known as AI. So AI, while it's still in its infancy, it's starting to become more popular for travelers looking to simplify their travel planning. So from finding hidden gems to crafting personalized itineraries, we test out different AI prompts to help us plan for our next upcoming trips. So does it live up to the hype? Let's find out. Hey, Steph. How's it going?
Oh, it is going fantastic. I've had some big developments this week. How about you?
Oh, not bad. I mean, it's been a quiet couple of weeks for me, but I am planning a couple getaways at the moment.
Yes.
I'm taking our own advice, and I'm optimizing on a upcoming business trip.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going for an event in Cyprus.
What?
I've never been to Cyprus before. And I feel like Cyprus is like very
That's cool.
Like, it's underrated. I don't know. I mean, it looks beautiful. The weather looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited for it. So I'm going to go for this event in May. And I'm going to add on a few days because I've actually not really been away that much this year. I've taken like no real vacation days from work, and we're leading into May. I took a couple days when I went to Greece. Yeah, it's time for a trip. So why not go explore a new country I've never been to? The weather looks amazing. It's like 29, 30 degrees now.
Oh, lovely.
Beautiful beaches. Like, what more do you want? So if anyone has been to Cyprus and can recommend anything, anywhere to stay, anything to do, let me know, because this is new territory for me. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, I love that for you.
That's what's been going on with me. How about you?
Well, do you remember a couple episodes back when I said I had something big in the works, but that nothing was for sure until the flight was booked?
Right.
All right. Well, it all fell through this week and it's not happening. I'm both bummed, but simultaneously, like, at least it happened now.
Oh, so why did it fall through?
I didn't really tell a lot of people because it's a bit controversial, but I had this opportunity to actually go to Iran, and I was going to go there for my 40th birthday. I know, not your everyday kind of location.
Right. Let's pick this apart a little bit.
Yes.
Like, it sounds very random.
Yeah,
I mean,
it does.
I can tell. We know what's happening right now.
Yeah.
It makes sense. You can't go. Definitely don't go.
Well, and can I tell you the irony is, like, forever ago, I was actually supposed to go to Israel in June of this year. And then obviously with everything that's been happening in the news, I thought, okay, clearly not going to Israel right now. Yeah. So that got put on, you know, down the list until maybe another time. And then I had this amazing opportunity to actually go to Iran, where a family was going to host me. As a female traveling solo in Iran, you do need to be hosted. You have to get a letter.
Yeah.
I was already going through the visa process, and it all looked pretty promising. I was watching flights. I was ready to book a flight. And I had a friend say to me recently, they're like, aren't you concerned that things are going to take a turn? And I said, I'm like, Iran is kind of one of those proxy countries. Same as the U.S., right?
Yeah.
I go to the U.S. all the time. The U.S. is involved in tons of wars and things overseas, but not ever on their soil. And that was kind of how I thought of Iran. I'm like, they have proxy wars. So yeah. I felt going there, I would be fairly safe. But now, this week's development in the news, mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, it's time to pull the plug on that one as well.
Yeah. What have you considered? I mean, what about Jordan? Because you had said you wanted to explore more of the Middle East. Like, why not take that opportunity to go to somewhere like Jordan that you could go to Petra and you can still, you know, obviously it's not Iran, but it's still somewhere that's safe to travel to at the moment. I don't know. Maybe pivot. Maybe look at some other countries near there. I mean, why Iran specifically? What was the call?
I just had this amazing opportunity with this specific family who was going to host me from the moment they were going to pick me up at the airport. And it was more that personal connection that I had there.
Oh, so you knew someone that lived there?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, got it. Okay, sorry. I thought you meant you were looking into it and then you found a family to host you. But you know people over there.
Yes. And they were going to...
Got it.
And they own houses sort of all around the coast of Iran. So it wasn't just that I was going to see one place. I was going to get to stay all around. I'd have my own driver. Like, it was a very good connection
good
and opportunity.
No, that makes sense. I thought it was the other way around, where you're like, one day woke up and you're like, I want to visit Iran. But it's more someone you knew there, which is cool. Which
someone
is cool
I knew
sometimes.
Who offered to host me, which then I started thinking about it. I'm like, oh, like when opportunity knocks at the door, I usually answer.
Of course.
But
yeah, definitely.
But right now,
but maybe not now. Yeah.
Now I think I'm going to go the entire opposite route where I could pivot. But now then I got that, you know, little person on my shoulder saying, you're building a house right now.
True.
Maybe
yes.
You shouldn't be spending this money. And I, yeah. Yeah. So
you got to find, I think, maybe a happy medium. Maybe you can find somewhere else to travel to where you know people that live and you can stay with them. London. Just saying.
Good point. Yeah, so we'll see how I pivot, but that my trip fell through, and sometimes that happens.
It does. I mean, remember when we had planned to go to Vietnam and I injured my knee and we couldn't go?
Yeah.
And that trip
I was just
fell
telling
through,
someone
so
about
it,
that the other day.
It happens. And we've never replanned that trip, so I don't know. Maybe. Vietnam Maybe. For Steph's 40th birthday, which is not that far from Australia.
This is true.
I mean,
we're planting
I'm just saying.
The seeds.
Well, we'll plant the seeds now and we can hold ourselves accountable later. I also just remembered that I'm planning a little trip to Colombia.
What?
At the
hold,
end of this year.
Hold on. You didn't even tell me this. And you've been talking about wanting to go to South America for years.
I know. And the reason I sort of kind of forgot, and it your story just reminded me as to why I'm planning this, because I have a friend that's from there that's going to be home over Christmas. And she said, do you want to come and do a trip while I'm home? So kind of the same thing. So yeah, so it's early stages where it's like we sort of planted the seed. There's a couple of us that are, you know, friends with this person that are interested. So we're like, yeah, actually, this would be a nice sort of, you know, it'll be like beginning of January that mm-hmm. I'd be going. And it's nice because my friend that's from there, she can do all the planning, which leads us into what we're discussing today. And as I've mentioned previously, I fucking hate planning trips. I just find it so tedious. I mean, I will do it for some trips, but mm-hmm. I don't enjoy the process, and some people do. Steph, I think you like planning trips.
I enjoy it. I do. I love it.
So, you know, I think people like me, someone that loves to travel but hates to plan, what we're talking about today has been an absolute lifesaver, and mm-hmm. we're going to chat about AI using artificial intelligence to help you plan your trips.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll start by saying Steph and I are not experts in this at all.
Can I tell you the most ironic part is my cousin actually is like one of the leading experts in the world who's like helping governments form their AI policies.
Wow.
And then there's me over here trying to be like, this is how we can use AI for travel.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think Steph and I, we're looking at ways we could sort of bulk out some tips in this episode. But to be honest, we're not experts. So I think what we might do, you know, for today, we're just going to talk about what we do know and how we've used AI up until now. And again, it's very new. Everyone's just sort of dipping their toes in it. And then, you know, maybe there'll be a follow-up episode where, you know, we test out some of these really cool like apps and tools that are available to us that, you know, I think as somebody that works in tech, I work in the tech industry, you know, we use AI in, you know, my company uses it for lots of things. And I'm of the type, I embrace technology. I kind of have to, I think working in tech, like you got to be a bit forward thinking. You have to be adaptable. But I think there's a lot of people that are scared of AI. And I think first, you know, shift your mindset, guys, like use it to your advantage. And there's ways that you can. It's there to help you. It's not there to harm you. Yeah. Don't be afraid.
I love it. Like I heard about it forever, especially when ChatGPT came out. And I kept hearing about it, never trying it. It was months after it was in the news. I finally decided to try it one day. It was just like life changing. I'm like,
oh my God,
this is amazing. Like I use it now to help me. Now I use it as a tool. I would to date, I would never like take something it puts out and just take it at face value. I like use it as a starting point for everything I do. But for like pitch letters, creative writing, I would think I was telling you just the other day, I used it. I had a, I'm in the event space. So I had a registration form that I wanted to embed. And it wrote me the code to embed it as a widget into another website. Like,
yeah,
I am just dumbfounded about what it can do for me and helping me in my job. So obviously it makes sense that I would be someone who would then use it for travel as well.
That's the part. Like it is a little bit scary on how smart it is and what it can do. But and I will say, if everyone listening, if you are going to use it for creative writing, if you're going to use it for work stuff, if you're going to use it for letters, do know that there are ways that people can check if it's AI generated. Yeah. There are also tools that they can scan what you've put in. So never use this as like the copy tool paste. to copy. Like don't use it for your entire work and job, which, you know, again, it should be used as a tool. I use it as well for my presentations when I need to write like scripts out as to what I'm going to present to partners that I work with. And I use it as a, you know, to prompt, right? Like come up with some ideas to get my brain flowing. Maybe if I haven't had enough coffee in the morning yet and I'm like, right, I need something just to kickstart it. So I think, you know, the same can be said to using it for trip planning. I think the first thing, you know, based on what you said, Steph, is, you know, whatever you are using it for trip planning, you gotta double check that it's still all correct. Like, it's still up to you to do a bit of your own research as well. Because AI, it's not always 100% accurate. So, you know, whatever it's spitting out, just double check it.
I mean, starting from the most basic, like what I think most people starting would do is if you open, I'm just going to say ChatGPT because it's the most common one. And you go in and you put this in. And I've been doing this. I have, as you know, every year I go to Santa Fe for this work event. I run there. I fly to LA and have to drive to Santa Fe. So I just, you can go in and you can type, plan me a 5-day road trip from LA to Santa Fe. And it will literally spit out a whole trip for you. Like, and it will include the cities you're stopping at, the drive time and distance between each one, things you can do in each city. Like, it is actually fascinating the way it's actually able to do it.
It sometimes gives you more information than I think, even for me anyways, than I want sometimes. And the great thing is it'll spit out basically a really thorough, like you said, say it's a 5-day road trip.
Yeah.
It'll spit out a thorough itinerary for you where you might look at it and go, okay, this is too much. So you can prompt it then and go back and be like, okay, let's minimize this a bit. You can literally put in exactly how you speak, which is great. You know, minimize this for me or make, you know, make it a couple less days. And it will then give you an entirely new itinerary within within seconds.
Yeah.
I think the other nice thing as well is you can, you know, I think it's about learning what type of prompts to put in and understanding, like, you do have to be very specific sometimes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're putting in, say you don't want to visit a bunch of tourist destinations, well, you have to say that. You have to put that in the prompt.
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic, because I was playing around with it leading up to us recording this episode. And I said, you know, because we have these big trips, we're overseas, we're doing things. But what if you have just a one night getaway and you want to do a 2-day, one night road trip? So I put in, plan me a 2-day road trip in regional Victoria that's drivable from Melbourne that offer like unique and quirky things to do. And it spit me out this road trip and it was great. Like for anyone from Melbourne, it was like Melbourne, Sovereign Hill, Ballarat, Daylesford. Like it gave me a great road trip. But it was Sovereign Hill and Ballarat and Daylesford are like pretty touristy, pretty well known. So I went back and I reworded it just with the same prompt, but then ended it with that isn't super touristy or well known. And then it spit me out the coolest itinerary of places I've never heard at, like even right down to like the lunch cafes to go to with the and order the delicious homemade. Blah, blah, blah. Like it gave me suggestions for menu, like what to order off the menus. It was, and now I'm looking at it. I'm like, oh my God, I actually need to do this. I've never heard of these places.
Yeah.
And that little change in the prompt went from, you know, something I could have Googled myself and it would have came up because those towns have tourist boards to promote these things versus things I think that I never would have found Googling.
Yeah. And that's the nice thing about it. I think as people that do travel a lot, sometimes we are looking for, you know, something new and exciting that is off the beaten track. And but it's hard to find those places. That's why they're hidden gems, right? And it's like, where do you find them if people aren't talking about it? And I think we talked about this in our social media episode, you know, a few weeks ago, where sure, you can find it there, but then those become super popular and, you know, overcrowded because everyone sees it on TikTok or Instagram.
Yeah.
Whereas ChatGPT might have some secret little tips and hidden gems that you can find. Now, it's obviously they've gotten it from somewhere online.
I mean, there's so much online that we don't get access to because the algorithms of Google and search bars aren't going to give them to us, whereas ChatGPT is still pulling information from those sites as well.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. I think when you were talking about even food, so I know, again, we talked about solo travel and, you know, traveling or eating alone. You could put a prompt in and be like, where are the best places to eat as a solo diner in wherever I'm going to go? And I would imagine, you know, maybe should we test out some prompts while we're on this episode?
Yes. Yes, we should.
Maybe let's
Tell me what to search.
I think type in maybe like, give me some suggestions for the best places to dine alone in Melbourne and see if it, you know, see what comes up.
Okay, I'm typing in, where are the best places to dine alone in Melbourne? Oh, I love this. Dining alone in Melbourne can be a delightful experience thanks to the city's diverse culinary scene. And then it gives you a little blurb. And then it gives me, okay, hold on, it's still going, it's still typing. But it's giving me...
Yeah, so there's lots.
I can tell from the get-go, because of the prompt I put in, it's giving me CBD locations right in the heart of the city. And it's giving me different options. So... it's giving me Asian, it's giving me fine dining, it's giving me ramen, it's giving me cafe in the laneways.
So you might need to refine it. Okay, I want ramen. Where's the best places for solo diners for ramen in Melbourne?
Ooh, I wonder where it's, because yeah, it just gave me a very specific. It said, go to Hakata Gensuke Ramen. Stands out as a fantastic choice, tells me why, and then it gives me more.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box, and if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Information about it. Oh, okay.
I feel like you need to go and test this place out as a solo diner and let us know. How did it stack up for solo diner? But I mean, this is, I think, in itself, just whether you're traveling solo or not, something like finding somewhere to eat when you are traveling and somewhere that's foreign that you've never been. I always find that part of traveling really overwhelming. And I end up, I don't know where to go, and I get overwhelmed, and then I end up just eating at the first place that I, you know, walked by an hour before, kind of thing.
Okay.
Like, do you know what I mean? Where you're just like, I'm hungry, I don't know where to go. And so, you know, I think there's that decision overload sometimes when you are traveling and trying to plan for a trip. And I think this is where ChatGPT can be perfect for that. And so for me, I know I would definitely use it for, you know, my next trip where it's like, hey, I want to eat local cuisine. Give me the best 3 or 4 restaurants that I can go to that's going to be affordable and it's done for me. And then I, you know, the first night I know I'm going to go here, the second night here, where then I'm not just wandering around like an idiot.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out what to eat and where to go.
So what to you would be the difference between asking AI for those recommendations or just like Googling a blog of like best places to eat solo in? I guess really it's the current information. Like a lot of blogs when I search these things were written a few years ago.
I was going to say current information, and then I do find you can't refine. I mean, you can refine it. Here's the thing. I don't necessarily trust blogs either that I read. Like, I'm always very, I question, I'm like, are they being paid to write this? Like, is this a paid, you know?
And I like to think over time that the transparency around that has gotten better, but you just don't know, do you, sometimes?
Yeah. And also blogs are just like, sometimes it's too much to read. I'm like, just give me a simplified list. It's like when you go to find a recipe online. Oh my God. It's like, it's like you're just looking for a fucking like macaroni and cheese recipe and you got to read through like 4 pages of like the person's life story and how they started making mac and cheese. I'm like, give me a break.
How their mother's dying wish was for her to pass on her mac and cheese recipe.
Yeah, totally.
And you know what? Like, talking about food recommendations, one thing I actually Google all the time, and I've never thought to try this, but I will now, is cafes that are remote worker friendly.
Ooh,
because sometimes
you
go to cafes and, you know, they've got those signs that say, like, no Wi-Fi, talk to each other, which is all great and dandy. And I appreciate the value of still needing those kind of places. But when I'm going out to work for the day, because I'm going out of my mind at home.
Yeah.
I want somewhere that is laptop friendly, where they're not going to be shitty with me or, you know, give me dirty looks. So that's one thing I actually look up often, depending which suburb I'm in. So I'm going to try that one.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, it, you know, in a sense, it is the same as Googling something, but I think it's exactly that. It's quick. It's compressed. You can refine exactly what you're looking for. And it's pulling through all these different recommendations for many different. I mean, if you think of a Google search engine, no one's clicking past the first 2 links that they see come up, really. Let's be honest. And nobody goes to page 2, do they?
Not really. It's rare.
So that's and that's where you're going to find the hidden gems, right? You're not going to find the hidden gems that are the first ones to pop up in Google search, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's playing around. But again, it's, you know, then do your research. Whatever comes up, it's like, okay, what's this place? It looks interesting. Then you Google it. Then you can see pictures. That's the thing with ChatGPT. There's no pictures. You can't see reviews of anything.
Yes.
So that's where you then have to take it the step further to do that. But there are apps now, like travel apps that are AI tools that I think do have things like pictures, links, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Now, Steph and I have not tested any of these out yet, but I think, again, we would like to, just to see, like, is it better than ChatGPT? Does it make travel planning easier? So there's a couple that came up that I saw. Trip Planner AI, trip.com. Steph, I think you've got a couple.
I think, so I tried one on a site called Rumaround. And this is where I think we were talking to, because I did the same thing. I gave it the same prompts as ChatGPT, you know, plan me a 3-day itinerary in regional Victoria. And this is where I think, because AI is still in its infancy. So mm-hmm. it's still growing, it's still learning, and it's doing that quickly. Don't get me wrong. And it spit me out a 3-day itinerary, and I know every single place on it, and they're all beautiful. But I was like, hold on a minute, because I know kind of directionally and how far each of these places were. So then all the recommendations it gave me from day one to day two, day three, I dropped into Google Maps. It totaled 1,200 kilometers. And it had me driving, if anyone knows Victoria, from Beechworth to Port Ferry, opposite Great Ocean Road, in one day. And I was like, which is fine for me because I can, you know, be a bit critical of that and dig deeper and give it better prompts. Whereas if someone was planning this trip and they weren't from here, this is where you can't blindly trust things yet either.
No, exactly. Because I wouldn't think, like, I wouldn't know that. So I'd go, cool, this is the trip I'm doing. And then I'd get on the road and be like, holy shit, this is a 13-hour drive or whatever.
Yeah. I think that's where, and tying back to our original note about it being like a tool that's a starting point, and then you've got to still do your work coming out of that.
You have to remember as well, with technology and with AI, it is very literal as well, right? So you have to be, I think, really specific. And in this case, maybe, you know, you could put like, all right, I have 3 days for a road trip, but give me an itinerary, but doesn't take me like 2 hours outside, like further than say 2 hours or X amount of kilometers outside of Melbourne, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it would narrow it down for you then. Because, I mean, if you think about it, you tell ChatGPT or tell an AI tool, like, I have 3 days, make a road trip itinerary for me. It might take that quite literal, going, you have 3 days that you can drive. So I'm going to put you on the road for 7 hours in a day. You know what I mean? Like, it'll take that as 72 hours. So what can you do in 72 hours?
And that's where I think
it's
interesting watching the space, because ChatGPT, I find, is amazing when I give it instructions.
Mm-hmm.
And what all these other websites, I think, are trying to do and achieve is, A, be more in a specific niche area, and then they're going to try to add in those photos. I'm sure they're going to try to at some point add in discounts or all those kind of links where they can benefit as well. But ChatGPT is so far advanced in the coding, whereas I think some of these, you know, new apps are still playing a bit of catch up in the coding.
Yeah.
So there's a trade off versus ChatGPT being just text based.
Well, and I think ChatGPT doesn't have all the bells and whistles, but, you know, that's where I think you do your due diligence and pick up the rest of the pieces after. It gives you exactly that. It's a tool, but then you got to take it and finish off the research yourself. And you can start Googling things and look at pictures of places, look at reviews of places where, yeah, you don't want to put, you know, all of your trust in what's coming out is completely accurate and factual.
Yeah.
The other thing I thought of that is, and I haven't tried this yet, that would be really useful, and maybe we could test this out as well, is if you're an avid traveler and you don't know where you want to go yet, but you know what kind of maybe vacation you want or the type of place you want to travel to, that's where ChatGPT could be really useful. So say, for example, you're like, cool, I've got a week off work. I don't know where I want to go, but I want something relaxing. I want
typing
something.
As you give me this.
Perfect. Relaxing, luxurious, but affordable, near a beach within Europe. And also you can use ChatGPT to help you find flights. So cheap flights. I don't need the fancy airline. Let's go budget airline. And I don't know where I want to go, but I live in London. Take me somewhere that's going to be warm, luxurious, whatever. So Steph's typing it in.
So where can I go for a week that's relaxing, luxurious, but affordable, near a beach and within Europe? I'm in the UK.
And cheap flights as well.
And want cheap flights to wherever.
Perfect.
Right, here we go. Here we go.
Where am I going?
All right. You are going to... Ooh. For a relaxing, luxurious, yet affordable week-long getaway near a beach in Europe, while keeping an eye on budget-friendly flights from the UK, consider these destinations. And I may say this wrong. Algarve, Portugal?
Oh, the Algarve, yeah.
The Algarve, okay.
Yeah.
The Algarve is known for its stunning cliffs, golden sandy beaches, charming villages. It offers a range of accommodations from luxury resorts to budget-friendly hotels. Flights to Faro are generally inexpensive, especially if booked in advance. Many low-cost airlines operate to Faro. And then it gives a couple more options. It gives us Crete in Greece, Costa del Sol in Spain, Paphos, Cyprus.
Oh, interesting. So there we go, Cyprus. Paphos, so let's choose.
Yeah.
Let's choose Cyprus then, because, I mean, I'm going there anyways for work. Okay, cool. So I'm going to go to Cyprus for a week.
Yes.
Steph, you know the dates I'm going, so I won't say them on the podcast.
Okay.
But so I want to go to Cyprus for whatever, however many days, and I want a luxury hotel that's under, I don't know, let's put a price in of under £1,000 total.
Okay.
That's on a beach that has a spa.
Plan me a trip to Cyprus for 1 week that's luxurious, has a spa, is on a beach, and would be under £1,000.
Okay. £1,000 total, not per night.
So, planning a luxurious 1 week trip to Cyprus, stay on a budget of under £1,000. So, what's so funny is in the prompt I said, and would be under 1,000 Great British pounds total for the week. And then in the response, and this just goes to show me I need to word it better, it says on a budget of under £1,000 per day.
Oh, yeah.
Of course you're going to find somewhere luxurious. Okay.
Yeah, no. I'm, guys, for the record, I do not earn that much money that I can afford £1,000 a day. And Cyprus is actually a pretty affordable place to go. But I mean, yeah, does anything come up if you do change the prompt?
Yeah, hold on. I'm going to re-put it in now. Okay. That's so fun. And this is where I, if for anyone listening, if you haven't tried it yet, you'll see in the responses to be like, oh, I needed to better refine that prompt. So
you'll know immediately oh no, this is not right.
Okay. So here we go. You, Andrea, are going to Cyprus for under £1,000 for the week. And here's your itinerary.
Okay.
So you're going to Paphos, Cyprus.
Yeah.
You're going to arrive day one. You're going to arrive. You're booking a budget airline, just so you know.
Okay, fine.
And it tells you, aim to get a round trip ticket for around 100 to £200 if you book well in advance. And then accommodation, it is telling you where to stay. Check into the King Evelthon Beach Hotel and Resort. Look for all-inclusive deals that average from around £50 to £70 per night, including meals, which will help keep your costs low. Then it's giving you a beach day with your complimentary breakfast at that location. That location also has free lounge chairs and umbrellas on the beach, so you don't need to pay for that.
Love it.
It is giving us this information. And then the hotel it recommended, it says book a spa treatment at their wellness center. Watch for discounts because they offer spa discounts for people who are staying.
I love that it gives you this info where you don't even have to prompt it. Yeah.
And then it's telling you choose a treatment like a massage or facial that fits within £50 to £100. Then it's directing you day four. You're going to the Paphos Archaeological Park.
It gives
you the price breakdown of it. It tells you to go to the local tavern. Day five, you're going to the local villages. You are renting a car for the day, which is approximately £30 in Paphos. And you're going to explore surrounding villages like, I'm going to butcher this, but like Garoskipu or the Akamaz Peninsula.
Cool.
You're gonna try local dishes at the Village Taverna.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to have a leisure day on day six. Like, it full out breaks it down. And then at the end, it gives it you a budget breakdown. So it's budgeted £200 for your flights, £500 for accommodation and food for the week, $100 for transportation activities. Oh, sorry, I said dollars. £100 at the spa and £100 miscellaneous. So there is your
$1,000
1 week trip in Paphos, Cyprus.
And here's an interesting prompt that you could go back and change it. So if I were someone that didn't drive, just go back into ChatGPT and say, I don't drive.
Yeah.
How else can I do the village trip or whatever on that day? And I'm sure it would bring up maybe tour guides in the area.
Yeah.
Public transportation.
Yes, it does.
So very cool. I might need you to send me that itinerary.
I can't believe it gave you. Yeah. I'm going to. This looks fantastic.
It budgeted too. Like it put a budget together, which is, that's always my downfall as well, where I'm like, oh, like where should I spend? Should I spend more money on the flight? Should I spend more money on, you know, the activities? But it seems like it spread it out pretty evenly. And it sounds like a pretty packed week.
Yeah, I'm actually pretty impressed. I didn't even know it could do that. I just learned something as we were recording.
I love this. I'm going to have a play around with it later for some upcoming trip ideas I have.
I was using it, and I mentioned earlier in this episode, for my LA to Santa Fe trip. And when I first put it in, it gave me destinations. Like, I've been to Flagstaff 2 or 3 times now. Like, it was giving me stops. And so that's where breaking down the prompts for me, I was saying, you know, because I'm going to be spending 2 nights in Palm Desert first. I've already booked that. And then I was saying, plan me, a 3-day road trip from Palm Desert to Santa Fe. And then I said, but exclude Flagstaff, Arizona and Gallup, New Mexico, because those are 2 main stops along the way.
Mm-hmm.
So then it actually started giving me like smaller towns, interesting things I never heard of to do in them. Really cool breakdown. So I'm going to actually be trying it. And we actually are leaving on the same day. The day you go to Cyprus is the day I'm flying to LA. And we are both going to be doing a ChatGPT planned trip.
We are. So we will feed back and we'll make sure that we're posting lots on the socials as well as we do some of the activities to let you guys know.
Mm-hmm.
Did ChatGPT pull through for us?
Amazing. So
time will tell. Well, I think that's it for today's episode. If you guys have used ChatGPT or AI for your trip planning, let us know.
Yes, I want to hear. Let us know. And remember, guys, when you're planning these trips, it's about the journey. It's not the destination.
Oh, deep. All right. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next time.
See you next time.
All the Shit I've Learned Abroad is a travel podcast focused on anything and everything related to travel. You can listen to us on multiple platforms, from iTunes to Google Play Music and more. And with that, please, if you have a chance, give us a 5-star review on iTunes or whatever platform you listen on. That drives us up the charts and really, really helps us out. Want to support us on Patreon? Find us over at Shit I've Learned Abroad Pod. Donations start as low as just $1. Also, if you could follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Shit Abroad Pod and Facebook by searching All the Shit I've Learned Abroad. Thanks so much for listening.